Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Welcome to today's show, and I am so happy to spend this time with you, and we have something fun we're going to do today. I wanted to give you some indication of what the holy cities are like. We spoke last week about the fact that we have got additional cities that have opened globally. And I would imagine, this is a huge guess, my brothers and sisters, but I would imagine that at some point these cities are going to unite into one. However, I wanted to tell you of the city that I have been the most familiar with and give you some of the entries out of the libraries. And we'll start with the Dolomite libraries in Italy to give you the information about some of what can be found inside that city. Because oftentimes people are, in fact, visiting it during the holy moments of their life in meditation or during the dream time and not really knowing where they've been. So I'm going to give you the information, and it says now in the Dolomite Libraries of Italy, it says, "We give now the secrets that man may know the glory and majesty of Mother's abode. The more all can envision what is to come, the quicker the city's materialization is done." See, we spoke last week about man's responsibility to materialize the cities, and that whereas Mother had before been bringing it closer and closer to us, we are now the ones that have to materialize it through our devotion, our love and praise and gratitude. So it's saying in here in the Dolomite Libraries that if we can help bring it in, what will assist us is if we can also envision it. So they're giving us the information. "Approach the great hall of Mother and Father's throne. In the city of light, the Mother and Father's home, enter the three doors of delicately wrought gold. Enter the hall with the golden glow. A map of stained glass on the ceiling behold. On the opposite wall, pillars and doors of gold. To enter the round hall with the golden thrones, through the four doors in front of you, go." And there's an inscription in the Dolomite Library that reads, "Kanish viva aru nush. From the three come the four." And I'm not entirely sure what that means, my brothers and sisters, but presumably it refers to the door that the principle discussed in Journey of the Heart of God, where the three, the four comes from the three, because you have to go through three doors in antechambers to get to the big throne room. And the approach into the throne, into the big hall, into this vast circular throne room where the Mother and the Father is exquisite. And it has very intricate, delicate patterns of gold. And then there is another doorway that you go through with domed tops in an antechamber. And in the antechamber, there is a map on the dome of stained glass on the ceiling. And the map seen on the ceiling of the antechamber that leads into the circular throne room is, in fact, a map that looks a bit like a star map. But what it is the map of the Amygdala. So, out of the libraries of the Plumeria in Kauai, Hawaii, it says, "In the round hall of the thrones, Mother receives visitors to her home. The veils shall thin and seers shall see. Great is the glory that shall come to be. And one of the oracles in Colorado wrote the following of her experience of being taken right out of her home into this holy place. She said about Mother, she paused speaking to me as two other people entered and gave her one scroll and another item they had just retrieved and brought to her in honor. I could see that the large marble floor around me had a design on it, some sort of a guidance structure map, like a compass, but different. And then we have another oracle that wrote, I noticed a stand with sacred fire on Mother's right side. The hall was very large, ceilings tall. The middle part of the ceiling was dome-like and made of blue stained glass. It was divided into sections that had several structures drawn on them, some clearly maps. The hall was divided with many pillars, some very tall and some shorter. They had paintings on them. And the map that is on the main dome of the throne room's ceiling in the blue stained glass that the oracle is speaking about is, in fact, the map of higher mind. It is exquisite. And these maps will be published in the book that is called The Realms of Innocence, The Triumphant Return of the Lost Tribes. Now, you can see here that the oracle is speaking of the map of the marble floor of the throne room. And the map, that is the map of the middle mind. So, and then they say that there are designs, there are 12 smaller domes on the throne room ceiling. So there's one big one, and then there are 12 smaller ones that lie around it. And my brothers and sisters, there are parts of the brain that Mother has called the Ring of Truth. These libraries represent that. In the Findhorn Libraries in Scotland, it says, we tell of the ceiling of Mother's throne room hall. We tell of the domes, maps of them all. Maps there are to find the way of the central section of the City of Light. So, now, an interesting thing is coming to mind here, to light here. It's saying that the city itself is laid out according to these maps. And so there are also murals on the walls of the throne room. And one of the oracles is a very wonderful engineer, and she has been mapping out the murals that are on the throne room. Every time she goes there, she's able to make the engineering drawings, actually, of portions of the cities, of the city. So in the library of the Antelope, which is in Somalia, it says 96 murals around the throne. See, there are 96 of these murals around this massive round hall with the domed ceilings with 12 domes around it. But the 96 murals around the throne, 96 root races the cosmos holds. Now we get further information. It's that if those represent portions of the brain, the races in the cosmos themselves do. And in addition to that, it's a map of the city, because the city is laid out like that. It continues, all 96 races from man did come. Thus there are 96 races, plus the one. And then they give the pedigree of the cosmic races. Pilish Natvi Urex Kranava Vilavish. We give now the pedigree of the cosmic races. They call humanity the Pa-Tal. And then they give the first 45 root races and on one of their murals. But my brothers and sisters, I don't know. I can read you some of their names that I've written down from those translations. I don't know what those races are called in English. But humanity, they call the Pa-Tal as the root race. From there came let me see, 5 races. The Viralbek, Krihetsa, Ninus Baprave, and the Klu Urus, and the Pirtawa. And then from those come more, and they are the Enet Bilisak, Purlhit, Ubrech Statvi, Kersvaspu Ala, and the Runave. I don't know, of course, what these races are in English, but those are the root races as I wrote it down. So I'll give you some other bits and pieces that the oracles have experienced in my classes as they've gone back and forth to the city. The holy city is continuously expanding. The sacred libraries actually have dome over it. The dome is multifaceted and has many tops and stained glass appearing windows. I'll just add in here from my own personal experience, because I go back and forth to the libraries in the holy city very, very much. They are laid out in the form of the rows we discussed last week, which are the sound chambers of the DNA of man, as well as the sound chambers of the cosmos. And they represent the mathematical sequence that replaces the Fibonacci sequence in higher life. The many library sections fold out of the main section in many different shapes. Together they make a perfect pattern. Each of the libraries have beings serving them, so they can assist in finding information. These beings are past guardians of that specific sacred information. As we opened the libraries, they either had guardians or mother assigned guardians. There is a group of beings that we discuss in Secrets of the Ancients, and they're called the Aranatvi, and they were the guardians of the flower libraries on the Nazca Plains, as well as the condor libraries on the Nazca Plains. They were also in the libraries of the Serpent Mound. However, many of them have been in stasis, and Mother has awakened them to become guardians of some of the libraries that didn't have guardians, but the others have their own guardians, and these are the ones that have become the librarians, so to speak, of those bodies of information that are also held in the city of Mother and Father's holy libraries. Once someone wants to access the information with pure heart's intent, this being will immediately know what they are looking for and will be able to supply them with it. They will be able to supply information across realms as well. Then this article writes, the libraries are becoming so large they have outgrown the palace. Now, what they mean by the palace is only the central ring of it, because the palace is laid out in 7 rings, and the very central ring is Mother and Father's abode. So the beauty of the holy city is breathtaking. And then, you know, another one writes, to be in the holy city and in other realms, it doesn't require time. Time does not exist there. What in our world seems to be only a second, there it feels like hours. It's not that our time is different, my brothers and sisters. It's just that it is that compressed. And so now we will have a quick commercial break, and then we will be right back.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Elmin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego. In 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer and in the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Helmy's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almeen's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
There are beautiful gardens around the center ring of the palace, and it also is laid out in a very, very intricate map, and it is the map of heart-mind. Now, in the Beijing libraries of the Crested Crane in China, it says, "New heavens came as man slumbered. None could see the true splendor of the starry skies. The city around the palace in rings does lie. Around the central palace, gardens that please the eye. The garden's pattern, a secret reveal. The stars in the heavens, around earth, yet concealed. A hologram hides, but here is their outlay. Laid out in gardens where unicorns play, between the palace where the mother lives and the ring in which all those who serve." And those are, for instance, like the 100,000 angels of the throne. And there are also 10,000 angels of the throne. But so let's see what this is saying. My brothers and sisters, we have been speaking on and off about the fact that we have fulfilled the prophecy that said there will be new heavens and a new earth, and that the new heavens are being obscured from man, and only man, because I interact on a day-by-day basis with multiple levels of beings in other realms, and including the mother herself. So I know from them, and that the starry sky that we see is not as it seems. And they say here in the Beijing library, none could see the true splendor of the starry skies. So the map of what space around us really looks like is laid out in these gardens. And it's incredibly complex. This is a massive garden laid out with little pathways running in between and key points that are like crossover points for some of these lines. Some of them are curved. Actually, most of them are curved. And they are, in fact, the star map of the starry skies around us. But I also told you that they were the map of the heart brain. So what this is saying is that in Mother's exquisite order and beauty that she always creates with Father, they have created a starry sky around the earth, who is the core of it, that resembles the map of that portion of 144,000 cells in the heart that are the thinking center of the heart, non-cognitively, but it receives non-cognitive information. It's the thinking center. There is a beautiful door that leads to the basement. And some of the architecture is circular, and then some is Gothic. There are Gothic openings and Gothic doorways and an incredible stained glass window right above the door that leads to the basement. And that's where Mother and Father's treasures are. Most of these treasures are white magic objects that have been safeguarded for humanity's use, and it is to assist with life. It is to expose the perfection of life. It is to bring joy and delight to humanity. And recently, Mother activated them so that they could fully be beneficially enhancing humanity. It says, most holy treasures gathered have been to honor the Mother, the Heavenly Queen. Their magic has healed much on earth, to uplift and to heal, and to a new era give birth. And so I want to read to you about this basement section, in that there was a very extraordinary, beautiful experience from the Oracle Karen. She wrote to me, she says, yesterday a giant approached me, handed me a white daisy flower with a yellow center. And incidentally, my brothers and sisters, you will be able to see photographs of a giant that came through our class. And when we asked him what he was doing, because it was during the time of the return of these lost tribes, that's called the Realms of Innocence, that came through the Toronto class when the bird tribes and the other Kachinas that Native Americans have known about for a long time wrote about, came through, they've been speaking about it, we were able to film one of these giants. We asked him why he was there, and he said that he safeguarded 12 of the Kachinas. And so those photos are on www.arubafirina.com. So she says, he handed me a white daisy flower with a yellow center. I accepted it with gratitude and friendship and was taught to look at the yellow center. As I looked, I was instantly transported first through a thick, dense liquid substance and next through a thin, fluid liquid substance. Once I passed through them, I entered a very bright atmosphere. It was very clear with brilliant colors. I was taken to an area with huge, massive gold beams placed in an elaborate structure. I could also see gold brick tunnels woven throughout the structure. It went on for what seemed like miles. The giant leaned against one of the beams and smiled. I could feel pride coming from him. The giant said he was on a team that had created the foundation for the palace. And the Machu Picchu libraries in Peru say the following. They say, ancient the giant gods that sing as they work, from beams of gold, a foundation they build. So, you know, that they could see that far ahead that those giants would be building that. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Velvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almaine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back. And I wanted to share with you a little piece that I translated out of the Libraries of the Wildflowers in the Yosemite National Park, California. It says, lords to do magic in the palace garden. Angels do magic to delight the children. Cradles await babes yet to come, sacred children of the holy ones. And I wanted to tell you about the nursery, my brothers and sisters, because I had the very rare opportunity when the nursery first formed to be able to go there and take a look at it. I saw three chambers with rooms adjacent to them for the children's caregivers. And, you know, there are many more, but I only saw three. And so it says that I wrote down a note here for myself. It says one room was white with pink accents. One was apple green and one a shell pink. All three had domed ceilings that showed the passages of the night and day. At night they looked like a starry sky, for instance. Roses trailed up the four posts of the cribs, but when little hands would reach for them, they were just a trick of the eye. All three chambers had large windows that could not open, but looked out over the palace menagerie. I saw a white tiger there. And that's what I saw of the nursery. In the Library of the Swallows, which is in Alexandria, Egypt, it says, there multiple layers of healing has been done to end duality and purify the one life. Innocence is restored and the realms have returned. Innocent voices can once more be heard. When the New Jerusalem was complete, now it is growing no more in itself. What's growing now is additional cities are coming about. That signaled that the realms of innocence can come home, that the age of innocence had been ushered in. And this is what they're saying. So now that innocence is again restored, pristine, yet wiser than we were before, sacred sexuality established must be. For this to occur, raise the earth's kundalini. The root chakra of the earth must pulse and be whole. Then all life shall flourish as long foretold. We spoke last week about the necessity for Africa to live, that it had been dying because it had been overpolarized into the feminine receptive pole. It had not properly, proactively pulsed with that pole. And so when this was restored, this is important because when that's not restored, it creates an overpolarization in the root chakra and the earth's kundalini cannot rise. The unified field on earth must be of all continents, unified kundalini. Then sexuality shall bloom and come alive. Species again on earth must thrive. My brothers and sisters, there's something that I want to go to. And that's those 96 murals that are around the Great Hall of Mother's Throne because of what they represent. And that is something that we should study because, as I said in last week's show, the more we align ourselves with the energies of the cosmos, the more we are empowered. These sacred divine cities are patterned on the template of the cosmos. And so from the Seagull Libraries on Easter Island, it says, around the Great Hall of Mother's Throne. 96 murals can be seen. The murals portray 96 frequencies that form a great wheel. This wheel lies clear across the cosmos, like ribs of frequencies, keeping open the space in which individuated life has taken place. Let's look at some of the 96 frequencies of transfiguration because of the sacred qualities they embody, that the more we embody, the more we bring these cities into full physical form and bring heaven onto earth. The very first one is blissful transfiguration. Some of the transfiguration that I had to do in the past, my brothers and sisters, was done with great inconvenience. When I entered some of the advanced stages, and I mean, I'm still entering stages, there is no end to it, but what to most would seem like incredibly advanced stages, when I entered those stages, the transfiguration was not always blissful. In one instance, it took me 11 hours of intense emotion to shatter the shield that lay between the human kingdom and the evolution that lies beyond it. And it took 11 hours. It was so intense that I, in fact, went through a stroke. And then the actual going through from one kingdom to another was like being pulled through a straw. I had some of the brothers and sisters experience that in Johannesburg, because of how rapidly that happened. And I mean, they were literally just sobbing on the floor because of going through this straw feeling, like all the breath is being squeezed out of you. For me, that lasted for at least 4 hours. Where I said, okay, I mean, look, don't panic. You don't need to breathe. You don't need a heartbeat. You're immortal master. Just keep going. But 4 hours of it to get through from one to the other. As others followed behind, it became easier and easier and easier. In fact, it is now so blissful in its transfiguration that they don't always know how profound the changes have been till they go out there and start living again. But this blissful transfiguration is a great gift. These are 96 frequencies of transfiguration. Transfiguration no longer has to be traumatic. The second one is grateful acceptance. We expect life often to be bad. One of the frequencies in the cosmos that in the last few days have been placed in by the infinite is the frequency to know that the cosmos is a safe place. That the cosmos is no longer a place where we need to be constantly protecting against something. In fact, protectiveness is also obsolete. These gifts of grace need to be acknowledged because it's in our grateful acceptance that we pull it towards us and enhance it, make it more than what it is. So in the next one is complete surrender. Brothers and sisters, we have entered what's called the realms of innocence. Growth no longer comes through support. It comes through grace. These are the ages of grace. And this grateful acceptance of the grace, the blissful, graceful transfigurations, the complete surrender to life when we know that growth is coming through grace. You know, there's a beautiful song by Shaina Nell, I think it is, that says, you can relax now. Come on and open your eyes. Breathe deeply now. I am with you. You had a dream. You thought we were separate. You misunderstood. But now you know the truth and you can relax now. In other words, it's called the Songs for the Inner Child. Very beautiful little CD. My little daughter loves it. She falls asleep with it at night. So this song is wording this complete surrender. Yes, we were in a battle zone for eons of dissension. But then growth through opposition changed. It became growth through support. and then growth through support changed yet again and has become, in the last weeks, growth through grace. A huge change. Let's look at that for a bit. Growth through support. What does that mean? Well, that happened when opposite matter and energy no longer attracted one another. And for the information on this, you can go to almeenhealing.com, and there are sections written on that. And it would be under the, we've got much on that website. It's the website Mother instructed me to create for the healers of the earth. But go to the Belvaspatah section. And there are pieces in there written about this issue. But no longer are we attracting people of opposite energy and matter into our life. We've done that for eons. We've been like the lamp in the middle of the flies. And they've come to us pretending to be lamps but haven't been. Now is the time that we attract those of like matter and like energy. And what that meant in terms of growth through support is that we are now, we were then growing by observing ourselves in those around us. The beautiful things in us, that's in the people around us. And as we view it there, it inspires through their unique lens more of us. And then as we live it more, it inspires more of them. And this growth through supporting one another, and also multiple, it's not just the simplistic, multiple support systems were placed in the cosmos to support the growth of man and all creatures. And one big one is that the inertia factor of life was removed. And we've described inertia as a principle that existed due to linear time and due to polarity and duality that was a bit like trying to go up a slippery slope with a pickup loaded with rocks in the back. But as you went up, you picked up more and more and more rocks in the back until finally you slid down again. That created more rocks. So each time you went up, you had more debris from past attempts that you had to pick up. That's one way of looking at it, that we kept in multiple cycles of death and rebirth of the cosmos. Creating this debris, had to deal with it as increased challenges as we try to grow. The second part of inertia that has now been done away with during this growth through support is that life, you could not accumulate awareness and keep it if you stopped accumulating it. Because awareness moved. You had to align yourself with the awareness. It was your only chance. And you had to beat it at its game. That made life very difficult. It also made death a reality. But that changed. And so we could gain awareness, keep that awareness, and for a long time not do anything. But when we do something, we still have the same awareness. You know, unless we've lived contrary to our highest truth, because that will leak it away. However, my brothers and sisters, this is an example of the growth through support. Then came growth through grace. And growth through grace is but very recently a new way of growing, and it came as the realm, as the full era of innocence and purity was ushered in. And this growth through grace, there are multiple mechanisms that are being daily put in place. And I just want to tell you that you can read more of what I'm speaking about now on my daily spiritual library. That's a blog log. And how to get there, you go to our central website, and it will tell you how to go to that spiritual diary. In fact, I believe there is, I'm not computer literate, and I haven't seen my own website, but if you go, there should be a button that you click that leads you right to this blog diary. That is just called the Spiritual Diary of Almeen. I think it's called In the Footsteps of Mastery. But day by day, as things happen and change in the cosmos, I'm writing it in my spiritual diary, and it's just a little window that allows you to see the rapid changes that are happening. You will see day by day things being put in place to make growth easy for you, for me, for all of us. This is the growth through grace. An example that you'll find written in there is that the infinite has removed during sleep the membranes between the present moment and the future, and has decreed that the insights of worth from future levels of evolution, because remember, we're in a massive cosmic ascension, so things are only going up. But the membranes between the moments are removed, which means that the floodgates from future wisdom to today have been opened. Today's wisdom is also pouring backwards, changing the past, which changes today, which changes the future. So as you can see, there's this huge exponential growth going on. This is one of the reasons that it is virtually impossible to give prophecies on anything, because the exponential growth, including the normal ascension that sublimates things from today to tomorrow, and we've discussed this on some of our previous shows, it makes it impossible because we're not looking at a linear future. Linear time doesn't exist. When we're speaking about the membranes between moments being removed during sleep, in other words, you can request assistance from your own future self, from a time when you are totally luminous and in full control of your physical realms. But what it's like is this, like a sliced bread standing on its end. If you look from the top, it just looks like one slice of bread, because all moments are only in this one moment. But there are, in fact, many slices of the bread. It's just stacked vertically, not horizontally. And so this is eternal time, where linear time has ceased to exist. But when the slices can access one another to give their highest wisdom from higher slices down to lower slices, that's one example of a system that helps us grow without our having to do a thing. Grace is like a present. It is handed to us on a platter. So to completely surrender to life is not hard if these things are taken into consideration. And then the fourth frequency of transfiguration is identityless awareness. We know that we are all things. Now, my brothers and sisters, I am planning, and by the time you hear this, it possibly is already up and running, to create a series on the I Am Presence. Because the fortunate thing is that thousands of people are going into identityless awareness, which is that bliss, which is the I Am Presence. The unfortunate part of it is that these thousands of people don't know that there is an enormous journey that lies beyond it that's more glorious than anything they can imagine. But they think they've arrived. There is no point of arrival. So identityless awareness is part of the journey, but there are then other parts of the journey that also have it, but they have additional things. To stay in the bliss is to stay in stagnation. Then we've got culminating bliss. The culminating bliss you feel when you leave the human kingdom into the God kingdom that lies beyond is deeper than anything you have felt before. So that is why it is very important that right within humanity's evolutionary stages that we learn that there is no place of arrival, because it's intoxicating enough, it can be like a drug. And yet again, you run the risk of stifling your own growth by staying there. Stay there and integrate its specific gifts. In fact, the next frequency is called integrating frequencies. Integrate the frequencies of whatever evolutionary stage you go to, my brothers and sisters, but life is a journey. It is not a camp. Let's break for a quick commercial break.
Elmin continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Key series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled, Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Look at the 96 frequencies of transfiguration represented by the 96 murals around the throne room of the Infinite Mother and Father's sacred hall in which they receive those they work with and those who come to visit them. We are looking at the seventh one, which is devotional dedication. Now, the eighth one is relinquishing boundaries. My brothers and sisters, if you listened to that little account of the Oracle Charon, she's the Oracle of the White Dove, and the Oracle Charon speaks of relinquishing, of going through the thick mucousy substance and then a thinner substance as she was taken to look at the foundations of this holy city. So that's the boundaries that we have to relinquish. We relinquish boundaries when we leave ego identification, when enough of us cease to identify with the body and the mind and the little bundle of emotions as all that we are, but realize instead that we are as vast as the cosmos, each one of us a unique perspective superimposed over all that is. We start to live from that higher identity, and every single one of my books, and they are in a specific order that I wrote them, and you know, you can certainly jump to one that calls you, but because they all stand on their own, but they go from A Life of Miracles, Journey to the Heart of God, Secrets of the Hidden Realms, and then The Ring of Truth, and then the Aruba Farina book, which is a rare gift to us. Aruba Farina means the gift of love from the little elemental realms. They allowed us to take color photographs of them and so on, and they gave us much of their magic. So then after that came the gift of the unicorns, and Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis, and then we have Windows into Eternity, and so on. So those books are a journey of becoming disconnected from those boundaries, to relinquish the boundaries. But it's our devotional dedication and the relinquishing of our boundaries that will materialize this golden era that lasts forever, although it will always grow in grace. It is a time of great peace that will come upon the earth, where the reign of the Mother and Father cosmically is from their densest creation, which is the earth, which has always been the cradle of civilization. So we have devotional dedication. Devotional dedication takes some effort because man has become very apathetic. We have discussed before when I had Paul St. John, who worked in my office, but he's gone back to his folks in Toronto, but he discussed how he set his alarm on his watch for every 2 hours just to take some moments to connect with the infinite, to consider the works of the infinite hands in whatever form you look at, infinite mother, infinite father, but the infinite creations, and consider the beauty that they are mirroring in their creations, and to feel the connection with them, and to know that the connection comes through our heart. And taking that time, that is devotional dedication. It can be 2 minutes. It doesn't have to take time away from your job. 2 minutes just to connect through the heart with the infinite source. And that is devotional dedication. Taking time in the morning to set intent for your day. Taking time at lunch just to connect with the earth, with the ground beneath your feet. Even if you're in a city, if you can just get to a little patch of grass. And then at night to take stock. Where did we have to learn this day? This is devotional dedication. And with it, as you connect more and more with Source, blending with all that is, you relinquish boundaries. These two transfigurative frequencies are very pertinent in our helping to manifest the New Jerusalem, as it's called in the book of Revelation. So, self-sustaining oneness is the next one. Self-sustaining oneness, my brothers and sisters, is the nature of one of the vast frequency bands that lie across the macrocosm. As such, it's also in our cellular structure. Self-sustaining oneness is where there's a give and take that pulses between you and another in a way that you live as though you're one person. In other words, if you live a life that's separate, you're pulsing between your own output, your own input, your masculine, your feminine. When you live in self-sustaining oneness with another person, you are still pulsing within, because any pole has within it still its own poles that need to pulse. But your main pulsation is with the other person. And so there's an input time and an output time back and forth between those two people. And it doesn't have to be cognitive or verbal. It is at a very subtle level, and love will do this. And this is what self-sustaining oneness is. The last one I want to discuss with you, because our show is drawing to a close here, but is refined purity. Refined purity, if you think of it, it looks for the good in life. It looks for the good in people. It is easy to see people's flaws, my brothers and sisters. They are pretty apparent. And where we feel body symptoms in their presence, like nausea, feeling like we can't breathe, get out of there. But if you are interacting with someone, look for the good in them. This is the eyes of purity. Make sure that when you listen, you listen as much to the song of the birds. Do you know that the song of the birds change every hour? Because there are 24 different hours still in Earth's time, even though time has changed, in that it takes the same period of moments to rotate. These time periods are mapped out very carefully. You can align yourself with them. We've coordinated it with the world's mean Greenwich time, and it's in the book Opening the Doors of Heaven. And that is where there's a clock given by the Zhongala Brook that maps out the frequencies of every hour. Birdsong mimics this. Their songs change from hour to hour because they're aligned with these infinite frequencies. And so in your refined purity, listen with your heart. Do not allow blaring noises, obnoxious noises, to pull you out of the moment. The moment is found in silence, and it is found in nature. Refined purity. It's time, unfortunately, for us to close, and I'll be again with you in 1 week's time, and thank you that we can spend these hours together. My love to you, my brothers and sisters. You are absolutely the light beacons of humanity, and I am so grateful that we can walk this journey together. Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mee. Please join us again next week.